This is Jim, and I am joined with half of Hot Start. We'll call it Lukewarm Start.
Lukewarm Start. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Digital Dave.
You're sitting in for Slider today. He's not available, so you're the next best thing, unfortunately.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know whether to be gratified or insulted.
I go with insulted.
Okay.
That's how it was meant.
So. Ah, good. Right. Got it.
It's just so we're clear. We're joined now with Daniel Robinson, a.k.a. Wookie, so says his shirt. Nice. From Utah State University. And we're going to talk about a number of topics, but specifically about waivers. Waivers. This is the ability to do the things you really want to and need to do and doing it actually legally instead of just, doing it.
Instead of begging for forgiveness.
These days, we're going to get into the topic of enforcement in just a moment. Have no fear. I want to warn you about that. But before we get to that point, Danny, you've been involved in doing drone stuff for a long time. Give us kind of a rundown where that started and how that worked.
Well, as a young kid, at about 8 years old, someone gave me a glider and said, let's learn how to fly this thing. And after a few times of flying it and put it through the back window of his Jeep, he decided I was a pro. So by the age of 12, 13, I was doing RC competitions and eventually started getting paid to do it. And now I've been with the University of Utah State University, and the Aggie Air Program for about 13 years total time. 10 years of staff, and they were flying drones one day, and after a few crashes and about $40,000 worth of damage, they asked me to see what was going on, and I came down and found out that the actual truth is nothing was going wrong. The drone actually flew quite right. There was the pilot might be crashing it.
No. And,
pilot air, right?
Really? John Q. Hamfist.
Right. Yeah. And so that hired me on, and I've been with them ever since, and then I got dragged out to Oshkosh with a guy named Barron from Utah State University. He's the director of education for the aviation program. And he brought me out here to Oshkosh, and we've been coming ever since. And we started a drone program, so we now have an undergrad program. We have a certificate program, and we also have something called Aggie Drone Academy. So it's an outreach and extension program where we go out and teach search and rescue how to fly drones and get people waivers for flight to be able to fly legally like you're talking about.
So dive a little bit deeper into what Utah State University does. And in your case, this was something that was a natural growth outside or growth from the aviation program, correct?
Correct, yeah. So we already had that big aviation program there at Utah State University. And it was just naturally that we already had a process of training pilots. And so we just used that same process to develop a drone program. And so we already had a successful way to do that, and we just implemented it for the drones, and it's been very successful. I started out with a minor, a 12 credit minor, and it's turned out to be one of the fastest growing programs at Utah State University. So
that was actually one of my other questions was how is it treated? Is it treated like I'm going to go into aviation and I'm going to grab some grab a minor in drones, or is it something that is kind of a standalone kind of function?
Oh, it's actually kind of amazing. So our minor is something that anybody at the university that qualifies to get a minor can do. Huh. And so we have everything from art students, music students, news and reporting, mm-hmm. And ag and science, and even aviation aerospace engineers coming into the minor. So it's a minor that anybody can do. It's taught by the aviation department, but it's looked at as like a separate thing that everybody can get at the university.
Sure. As these drone programs across the United States are popping up, it seems that they focus either on flight, on data collection, on maintenance. There's a drone maintenance program. I think it might be the only one in the country that I work with.
Really?
Yes.
Replace battery. Isn't that about it?
No, there's more to it than that.
You'd like to think so, buddy. Yeah. So, I'm affiliated with NCAT, National Center for Autonomous Technologies.
Yeah.
We're centered out of St. Cloud State University and Northland Community Technical College, which has an aviation maintenance program. So they now have an aviation drone maintenance program that grew out of that.
But okay.
But a lot of these programs will have some focus on flight and jobs in flight and data collection and jobs in parsing data collection and application and stuff like that, or sometimes maintenance. And how does the program at the Utah State University work?
So it's actually quite impressive. So every component of our degree has a flight or hands-on component. So like even our intro to drones, where you just get your certification, you get licensed, there's a requirement for flight to go out with someone and get taught how to fly a drone. And then we have intermediate and advanced drone classes where the whole class is dedicated to flight. So we get people out there with all kinds of different types of drones, from transition drones that vertically take off and transition to basic VTOL or your quad rotors, your standard DJIs. And then we have a fixed wing program where everybody in the program gets an Aerostar from Horizon Hobbies, and they take this aircraft out and they make it their own, and they get out there and they start in the safety mode where it kind of flies the airplane for them, and they progress through the three different modes until they're fully ready to move on to the next stage of flight. And so it's a lot of fun because every one of our classes has a flight component or a hands-on component, including our systems and controls, where they're actually tuning the brain inside the aircraft, the PID system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we've talked a lot about flight, and I found this very interesting in some of the information you sent us about this program and some things you've been involved in. Myself with the National Center of Autonomous Technology, notice that...
That's a mouthful.
Yep. We call it NCAT. But we don't say drones, we don't say UAS, because we're doing things like robotics and underwater.
Yeah, right.
Underwater drones. Now, I noticed that you have worked with the, was it the Utah Water Research Laboratory?
Correct. I'm actually an employee of the Water Research Laboratory from Utah State University.
Well, there you go. So talk a little bit about how that crosses over to drone technology and the underwater work.
So it's actually kind of, so it's surprising. So when you think about, like, we have hydrology and science there, in order to get the ability to go out there and fly, drones over a river and get to understand that, you have to understand everything about the water. So the way that it flows, the temperature and all that. And we have sensors now that can be flown on the aircraft that can pick up that. Mm-hmm. So we can, you know, fly habitat, the water habitat. And because water deals with everything that's agricultural based, so if you add that into water and add that to agriculture, that means you have to fly over something to do some sort of science for agriculture. So if your science is going to be flying underwater using a drone underwater, or if you're flying if you're flying over an agriculture, mm-hmm. your primary state is water. You're worried about water. So the Utah State Water Lab, we fly to check out if the plant life has enough water in it, or if it's has the right, you know, chloroform, all mm-hmm. that stuff. And so the Water Research Lab doesn't just do hydrology and water, but we also do big projects with agriculture. But you talk about, like, what would you do with water? So we inspect dams and new dams, and inspect areas that new water flows are going to be built for new dams. And then we build those dams inside the water lab and divert 99% of the water from the Logan River through the building. And then we examine how that water flows into it. So we have the world's biggest model building set inside the lab, and then we fly drones to inspect that.
Wow.
So you have drones doing inspections on models, you know, large-scale model functions.
And the real thing, yep.
That's impressive.
I guess an underwater drone, they're all tethered. They're not autonomous.
Yeah, most of those are going to be drones that are tethered to something. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, for the most part. No, that's drone inception, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Drone model, inside a drone.
A model inspecting a model, yeah.
Yeah. Dear Lord. All right. So we're going to get into waivers, and we're going to start teasing it just a little bit here. Waivers have been a thing that has been out, well, you know, FAA waivers have been a thing forever.
Yeah.
Waivers to the drone operating community has been a moving target. And before we get into some of the, like, nitty gritty of that, let's talk about, like, the legislative legal point that we're at right now.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the need for waivers and changes that have been happening stem from the FAA's reauthorization in 2018.
Yeah.
But not everything has been enacted yet. So we're not at the end of the road yet, right?
Mm-mm. No, there's all kinds of new stuff that's going to be coming out for waivers and different types of ways to get easier waivers out there to do very complicated flights.
Got it. Well, we're going to talk about waivers in just a bit. And this is the Drone Zone here on EAA Radio.